Chapter 9. Nothing Matters to Silence. As Katsumi taught during this day of rest, three men would walk up to where he, Misaki, Katsukun, and Aiko were gathered around. One of them, when Katsumi had a lull in his teaching, asked a woman who was with him, "What is this man doing with our daughter? Is he a son of the Creator or is he not?" Katsumi responded with, "I am a prophet of the Creator, and my purpose is to teach those who come to me, usually in solitude. I cannot just teach adults, but little children like her, to nurture them as if they had a proper parental figure." The man responded with, as Katsumi predicted, "This cannot be possible. She is our daughter, and you're stealing her from us." Katsumi sighed and asked him, "What is the purpose of wanting your daughter back?" The woman with him then answered, venomous in her vocal tone, "She is our daughter." Katsumi asked again, this time in an annoyed tone, "What is the purpose of you wanting your daughter back?" The woman with him then hissed again, "She is our daughter, you unhearing monster!" Katsumi snapped and blew up into an angry rage, demanding, "What is the purpose of you wanting your daughter back? Are you not the people that went into force into something incompatible with the Creator's law?" This scared Aiko severely, causing Misaki to stealthily walk her back to Katsumi's shelter. "The Creator's law is useless, silent scum!" The man thrust his dagger at Katsumi, attempting to kill him. Katsumi disarmed the man and threw the dagger at a nearby tree, away from everyone and the shelter. The man then attempted to restrain Katsumi so he could hogtie him, but Katsumi broke out of it and choked him out for a moment before throwing the man into a blood trench. The woman attempted to pull Katsumi away from the man while he attempted to climb out. Katsumi turned around and threw a haymaker punch at the woman, making her stumble back. Katsumi then turned to the man and searched his person for any other weapon. Another dagger was on the man, so Katsumi stabbed his neck, causing the jugular vein to rupture and spill everywhere in the blood trench. Katsumi climbed out and flicked the dagger to the man's heart, since Katsumi knew this was a judgment to be carried out from the Creator. The woman stood there, still dazed from the punch she took, and she was shocked. The other individual, whom was with them, had already departed quickly, realizing that this was the silent they were targeting. She looked at Katsumi, eyes reddened with a bloodshot look, and she attempted to choke him. That choke was stopped, and he choke-slammed her into the blood trench, causing the dagger on the man's chest, on top of his heart, to dig deeper into his skin. Katsumi grabbed the dagger he threw at the tree, pulled it out, and walked back to the blood trench. He jumped in, cut the woman's jugular vein, and stabbed her heart the same exact way he did with the man. Katsumi then climbed out again and looked at their lifeless bodies. He muttered under his breath, "If this be thy judgment, let thy servant see favor in thine eyes, for two folk have been destroyed at thine hands. Thou wishest their destruction, and I entereth thine call. They hath not followed thee, for they strayeth from thine path, the straight and narrow. Ye calleth for their dying of the death, and I respondeth to thine charge." Katsumi looked at the bodies inside the blood trench after saying this. He looked into the shelter to see Misaki comforting Aiko. Katsumi sighed, likely knowing that what he did hurt Aiko to her core, and he had now traumatized her for the rest of her life. Katsumi thought he had done the worst thing he could do in front of a child. That was letting her see her parents attack them. And then he killed them the exact way he was told to do. Brutal, ruthless, and merciless in the judgment of Methuselah. As Katsumi looked at what was happening, Aiko was crying her eyes out as a result of what she had just processed. Even though it looked like Misaki made her look away, it was unsuccessful, and Aiko looked regardless. As Katsumi sighed, realizing that Aiko was not prevented from seeing this, he heard footsteps approaching him. He turned around, and an older human was standing before him. He simply asked Katsumi, "What happened to the parents of that girl?" Katsumi responded with, "They were destroyed by the Creator, and he used me to cast the judgment against them. They have taken the mark of destruction, of which you have also knowingly done.
That cannot be true, and you know that.
The man was shocked. He could not believe that Katsumi, a silent prophet, was used for a harsh judgment of death on Aiko's parents, who in turn had done horrors to her.
Did you not hear what I regaled to you?
Katsumi looked at the man, starting to get angry again.
They were killed by the Creator, and he used me to cast the judgment against them. They have taken the mark of destruction, of which you have also knowingly done. And I understand you are a high-ranking SOM pig.
Katsumi emphasized the title pig, letting this man know he was not fooling around.
That is not true. You murdered the two children of Makshila and have denied the ghost.
The man is getting more annoyed, and Katsumi knew what he said was true now. This made him respond with,
I had already told you what happened. You are wantonly serving the Bishop of Wesneth more than the Creator, and your sinful nature is what drove you here. You want to murder me because you know that I am a silent, a historical prophet teaching little children like her to stray away from what you forced down the throats of all the children in the SOM.
Katsumi was also getting enraged. His eyes were bloodshot and ready to strike at any moment.
Since you take the mark of destruction, your judgment has been locked and preserved for Methuselah and his servant.
How about you stop being a false prophet and repent for what you've done? The ghost had already left your soul, and now it's time for you to pay for your crime.
Now this man was angry. Katsumi, meanwhile, just picked up the man onto his shoulders, just as he predicted Methuselah or the Creator would have him do, and threw the man into the blood trench. The impact was grand enough that it caused the ground to shake greatly, and he suffocated as a result of some of the dirt and soil getting into his lungs. Katsumi then cut the man open with a dagger he placed onto Aiko's mother's heart. He then cut open the man's body a bit and stabbed his heart, letting the man bleed out and letting the blood pool under the three of them. Exactly the purpose the blood trench was built for. This was indeed the judgment that was passed down to the three of them, as they had no power to sway Katsumi in their direction. This was because Methuselah had protected him, especially after Katsumi invoked the instructions of encroachment onto his own person alongside Misagi and Katsukun earlier in the day. Katsumi then looked down at the blood trench again and muttered under his breath,
This is what shall occur when ye taketh the mark of destruction. Thine treatment of thy prophets was the reason your judgment was preserved. And I shall call the heavens and the earth to witness against thee this day. And ye shall cry out for the Creator, but he shall not be found.
After ensuring that Katsumi's kimono was not bloodied, he then entered the shelter again and went to meditate in the bedroom. Aiko attempted to follow him, but Misaki stopped her and gently explained to her, Katsumi needs time to meditate after what had just happened. Aiko looked at Misaki and then at where Katsumi went before asking,
Why does he always do this whenever he's angry?
He felt it was the right thing to do, as he got angry very easily, especially during his youth.
Misaki looked at Aiko before telling her,
I have seen how angry Katsumi could get. You do not want to anger him, for he would do what he just did to your parents. You said you wanted nothing to do with him, no?
I have said that, yes.
Aiko would hug Misaki before thanking her. Aiko now realized that, while she was traumatized by what Katsumi did, she also understood after Misaki's explanation that he was protecting her, exactly as he said he would. That, in her eyes, was a prophecy fulfilled for Katsumi. Even though it was something that was out of touch for someone like Aiko and Misaki. Katsukun entered the shelter and saw that Katsumi's door was open. He closed it and turned to Misaki, asking her,
Did he do exactly as he...
Misaki interrupted him, saying,
Yay, exactly as he said he would do. He protected little Aiko, and as harshly as he regaled to us he would.
I thought Katsumi always imagined things that would just... happen.
Katakun sighed before continuing, Is he more than a silent?
Misagi was confused, so she asked him,
What do you mean more than a silent?
As in...
Katakun sighed before continuing, Is Katsumi more of a shunned silent? Especially considering that some historical prophets have said that Katsumi was a fraud?
He looked at Misagi before telling her,
I remember Katsumi telling me one time that, when he was dealing with another prophet, a silent at that, he was ghosted by the other silent. This was because he mentioned that he had observed a lunar day of rest.
I do not believe that Katsumi ever told me about that.
Misagi was not surprised. I could see Katsumi being a shun silent, to wit, being branded as the best of all the prophets, despite not having everything figured out.
I thought the same as well.
Katsukun walked over and sat near the little teepee in the middle of the room. Knowing how much Katsumi was already traumatized by what he was seeing over the years, and with us being former SOM disaster people, it was unassuming that he would have such a problem with us.
He turned to Misagi before saying, I was surprised when he accepted us for who we were, though we never stayed that way.
It was like Katsumi taught us to be our best selves, which we needed for a long time.
I cannot blame you for that, as I felt the same way about Katsumi.
Misagi placed a comforting hand on Katsukun's shoulder before saying, To be fair about it, however, Katsumi has some work to do in terms of his emotions.
He had already told me about it.
Katsukun sighed before he went on to explain, Katsumi's anger issues are unable to be healed. He believes that Methuselah had given Katsumi what he calls Methuselah's rage, which is the worst of them all.
He looked up at Misagi before resuming.
This is a form of anger Methuselah had against the money magicians who were making money out of thin air, and why he called a meteor storm to decimate Westnith once. Now he is doing the same thing again, but I think in order to keep his rage in check, Methuselah had brought the three of us here so he does not have to see Westnith be destroyed.
Methuselah remembers the sun, moon, and stars.
Misagi whispered to herself before looking down into Katsukun's eyes, saying,
Maybe Methuselah is protecting Katsumi until Katsumi is needed to render Westnith's final judgment.
We might have to ask him about that later.
Katsukun lay down on the ground, closed his eyes, and just relaxed. He was not sleeping here, as this was not his intent.
Misagi did the same thing.
Meanwhile, as Katsumi was just about finished with his meditation, he looked around and observed Aiko near to him. He beckoned her over, and she came. In a soft, calm tone, he asked Aiko,
How long were you in here, Aiko?
About 5 minutes, give or take.
She tried to recall how long it was since she came in, and Katakun closed the door.
I cannot blame you for that.
Katsumi sighed before asking her,
Were you given the reason as to why I was meditating?
I do not understand it, Katsumi.
Aiko sighed, her ears drooping slightly before she continued.
Misagi tried to explain it to me, though I think it might have been too shallow for me to understand the full context.
It is because she does not understand the fullness of what I do.
Katsumi looked into Aiko's eyes before he resumed.
As for myself, the reason why I do this is because I possess Methuselah's rage, which is an anger management condition that I cannot heal from. I was diagnosed with it when I saw something happen during my youth. Long story short, I saw a sin being committed when I was 10, being that my best friend was being assaulted. I rushed over to my best friend, got in front of him, and yelled out to the assailant, and this is still fresh in my memory. Why art thou taking the mark of destruction?
Was that the first time you were so angry you resorted to fulfilling Methuselah's judgment?
Aiko was now engaged and curious as to Katami's childhood.
It seriously hurts me to talk about this, but yay, it was the first time I was ever that angry.
Katami pulled her close to him, and she sat on his lap.
That day, after I harshly protected my best friend, killing the other child who would not repent after I recommended he do that, my parents took me straight to the elders in Roquad. I lived just outside of Roquad at the time, and the situation was explained. I told them exactly what I did, and one elder, Messiah bless him, named Sunotaku, realized that I was someone who was not to be messed with. He went to the back of the room and took me along. He asked me all sorts of questions about what I did and what the motive was. I heard a still, small voice telling me that judgment was near for the fox cub I had just destroyed.
Katami was silent for a moment, attempting to maintain composure for Aiko.
What happened when...
Aiko saw Katami's expression and stayed silent. She did not want to upset him further, but she also understood that this was a heavy experience for him. Hearing Katami talk candidly about what he did to a fox cub who, seemingly rightfully, was killed at Methuselah's hands using Katami's protection of his best friend. Katami looked into Aiko's eyes and just told her,
"When he told me that I had Methuselah's rage, everything started to make sense. This was why I was shunned, why I did not have many friends, why I was alone, why I was sad, and why I was abused for so long. My parents knew, but they did not realize it. I never told them that I had Methuselah's rage, and kept it a secret I shall take to the grave to them."
How is Sunotaku nowadays?
Aiko was quite curious now, especially understanding Sunotaku to be a great Todd.
"I think he passed away due to a health issue not that long ago. I have not heard from the old Todd since I was 10.
Katami's ears drooped, and he nodded his head down.
"I am very glad you are here with me, as this hurts me to even talk about things like this."
I can understand why.
Aiko hugged him, though Katami did not hug back. Katami was, indeed, the father figure Aiko thought she needed in her eyes. After getting Aiko off of his lap, Katami went out of the room and joined Misaki and Katsukun. The three of them just spent as much time as they could before they went to sleep for the night. As Katami and Misaki were asleep during the night, they heard banging on the door. This startled them awake, and Katami went to check. His tails were out in full display, and he had his spear in hand. He was ready to face what was at the door. As he slowly opened it, he realized what was happening immediately. He shut the door, and since this was an old door that needed replacement, he thrust his spear through it, punching a hole on its surface. Katami said nothing, as opening his mouth would spell disaster for him, Misaki, Katsukun, and Aiko. The door banged louder, forcing Katami to kick the door down and charge who knocked at it. A clothesline to the chest sent the individual backwards, a sickening thud emanating as he hit his back on the ground. Katami looked menacingly at everyone who was gathered around the door. Katami said nothing, knowing that it spelled death if he did so. One individual, dressed in black robes, walked up to Katami and took his hand.
"We need you to come with us."
The man attempted to be authoritative, but soft. Katami knew better, as this was a gaslighting technique. Katami slapped the man in black and pointed away from the shelter. He kept doing this as long as they were here. Some of them got the message and scrambled every which way, tripping over themselves as they ran away from the shelter. The man just calmly said again,
"We need you to come with us."
Katami just shook his head and stared him down. He knew he was being gaslit into joining the SOM, and this was not happening. He still said nothing, regardless, though he was almost tempted to tell the man in black to kick rocks. The man in black violently took his hand and said once again, "We need you to come with us." Katami then knocked the man in black onto his rear end with a haymaker punch. He pointed away from the shelter and demanded with spite, "You shall leave before I turn you to a son of Methuselah." Now Katami was ticked. He was not afraid to use his spear if necessary, though he was capable in unarmed combat. He continued with poison in his voice, "Your judgment from Methuselah has been sealed, and the Grim Reaper is drawing your number. You will leave this homestead before I carry out the Creator's judgment against you." "Nonsense!" The man in black slapped Katami, but Katami did not budge. "You turned three people into sons of Methuselah, and since you are not in any of the groups you were mandated to join, that was turned against you, and the judgment had befallen you." Katami just thrust his hand at the man in black's throat and choked him out. "I must inquire thee for thine eternal silence. Ye didst not depart from me, ye worker of lawlessness. Therefore, thine judgment is sealed." Katami threw the man in black backwards before yanking his spear from the door and walking up toward him, spear in hand. After identifying where the man was at in the pitch black of the night, Katami thrust his yadi towards the man in black's heart and kept it there. After confirming this killed the man in black, Katami took the spear out and threw him into the blood trench. Katami had a feeling he needed to make more of them soon, especially with the amount of spiritually dead and sinful people he was going to be meeting. He just turned around, grabbed a spear, and walked to the river to clean it. After it was properly cleaned up, he brought it back with him and hung it on a rack to dry. He then entered back into the shelter and walked to his room. Tails properly hidden now, he crawled back into the bed and pulled Misaki close. When the sun rose, the two of them woke up, though Katami just stayed in bed for a bit. Misaki turned to him, and her expression turned slightly dark.
"S.O.M.?"
Her voice was thick with concern.
"Yea, S.O.M. mongrels were here. I carried out a judgment against a man in black robes who was higher up in the group after he attempted to kidnap me using a gaslighting technique that did not work on me."
Katami knew what he did, but he did not care as long as he protected those who needed it, Misaki included.
"Of course they found us."
Misaki sighed before walking out of the room and into the kitchen to make some tea. Katami, meanwhile, stayed in bed and slept as his sleep was interrupted for a few minutes, which was never a good sign for him. As he attempted to sit up minutes later, some pain started to shoot up around his heart. He lied back down to see if it would go away. It did not, and the pain got worse. Once it went into overdrive, screams of agony started emanating from him. He was being attacked by a witch or a warlock who clearly planned this entire thing out. Misaki rushed in to see Katami in a state of torment. She checked him for anything. That was not witchcraft, but the excruciation was worse. Katami told her,
"It is a witch. She is stopping my heart."
Foxfolk were susceptible to heart problems by witches, but those like Katami were the only ones solely affected.
"Now they are really after me, knowing that I shall not take the mark."
Misaki, knowing how this witchcraft worked herself, went to the kitchen and quickly made an anti-inflammatory drink using turmeric, ginger, lemon, and other natural things she had lying around. She had to make it in haste, knowing that if untreated, Katami might have potentially passed on. After steeping it for as quick of a time as she could, she rushed into the room, poured a cup of it, and gave it to Katami. He drank it in haste and let it sit. Katakun burst in the door to the shelter and rushed to Katami's aid. He turned to Misaki and just asked her, "Witchcraft attack?" She nodded, and Katakun rushed out as fast as he could. Now this was serious, but also what turned out to be a huge mistake for a witch that was currently tormenting Katsumi. Meanwhile, Katsumi was just suffering at the hands of this witch, as things were difficult at the highest levels under her control. Meanwhile, Misaki just crawled up and held Katsumi close. As she did this, he started to cry, realizing that there was nothing he could do yet, despite an attempt that was hasted greatly. This was the first time he cried as hard as he did in about a decade, as the pain was too much for him to bear. A broken heart was all it took to really make things unbearable for him. The last time he cried this hard, when he was around 14 or 15 years of age, when his uncle was murdered for protecting Katsumi more than he was protecting the corrupt elders. This was because of Sunotaku, whom was the same elder that realized how much of a threat to Westneth Katsumi was. Misagi attempted to comfort him as best as she could. Just being there for him was all Katsumi would need at that moment, considering the consequences of what just transpired. It was clear that it was a witchcraft attack, judging by the pain and suffering Katsumi was going through at this very moment. It was a matter of time before he either perished due to a broken heart that bled internally, or it was miraculously healed. Katsukun burst through the door and entered the room Katsumi was in. And this was the same with Aurelia, his mother. She crawled up to his other side and pulled him close. She turned to Katsukun and told him, voice thick with emotion, "Please, tell me that this witch was dead before you got me. I attempted to murder her for this crime, as this is not to be done to a shun silent like Katsumi." Katsukun looked at Aurelia with long, angry eyes. "He told us about a verse in First Nishimura that talked about silence, and that if they were attacked by any means, especially with this situation, their death was to be carried out. I figured he would teach you two after he was attacked by witches." Aurelia looked into Katsukun's eyes, hers watering. She told him, her voice thick with emotion again, "I had heard he was to be a silence for the rest of his life. After my former husband tried to torture him to death, I ditched him right around the same time he left Roquat at 16. I have never looked back since, and I thought Katsumi would not trust me anymore." Katsumi turned his head to his mother, eyes welling up with tears due to the pain. He told Aurelia,
"I had heard about your departure, and I was able to forgive you for what you did at his hands. I was never able to forgive him for what he did to me, as he did not repent to me for it."
Katsumi knew that he was not to forgive his father, as he took his unrepentant nature to the grave when he finally finished off his father in an anger so great, people thought Methuselah was coming back. Aurelia, meanwhile, just pulled him closer, rubbed his back, and soothed him. The pain was starting to go away, as something had to have been happening after the witch was presumably murdered by Katsukun. This was confirmed when a bang was on the door again. Katsukun went to check it. As he did, however, he witnessed another man in black, asking him, "Is Katsumi here?"
"Nay, for he had passed away from a heart condition."
Katsukun knew he had to lie to this man, as he was SOM.
"He became a son of Mahshila just minutes ago."
"Can I see to confirm that it happened?" The man in black was trying to enter, but Katsukun knew better than that.
"No, I was able to confirm it myself. We just buried him by the river mouth in Gili Talasad, where he was born before moving to Roquad."
Katsukun was quite convincing in his deceit, since he was trained in this matter.
"I will need to check for myself then, if we can confirm if he had become a son of Mahshila."
The man would not believe Katsukun, knowing the trick that was probably being used.
"Here."
Katsukun handed the documents, falsified for Katsumi's protection, to the man in black.
"Take these to Galatasaray and ask for Umumbota. He shall confirm that Katsumi had passed on due to a heart condition, of which was internal from a warlock."
The man in black looked at the documents and scanned them. He looked up at Katsukun and told him, "I feel this should suffice." The man in black went about his business, not realizing that he had just been fooled by Katsukun in order to protect Katsumi. Katsukun knew that, since Katsumi was still very much alive, that he would be classified as harboring a fugitive of some sort, despite Katsumi committing no crime, other than killing off SOM members who would not repent of their sins. Katakun knew that Katami's name was called and did whatever he could to misdirect to the best of his ability. This was done in order to protect Katami after realizing that Katami was not only a silent prophet, but a shunned silent at that. The best of all prophet in the Fox Folk's very set upon text. As Katakun entered, he regaled to Katami what happened and what he did to protect Katami. Katami nodded and said to him, "That was the best thing you could do. Did you tell him that what you were doing was completely lawful under what was found in Third Anotok?"
"If I had used Third Anotok, the man in black would have known that I was lying, and I would have been killed off."
Katakun was brutally candid with his response.
"Third Anotok is only to be used without telling people outright that was what you used. It is not in the canon of the texts, meaning that using it would entail that I was a historical eschatologist."
"I must have been using a copy of the set-apart texts only historical eschatologists read." Katami reflected on this. "That was the only version of the set-apart texts I ever used. So that might have been the reason I became a silent, much less a shun silent in the first place. It is nothing more than something I was forced to be by Methuselah, and I fit all of the positive aspects of one." That might have been why Katami was targeted by Westneth in the first place.